Okay, good Wednesday evening to you, and thank you for joining us for our live stream class tonight at West End Church of Christ. This class is about frequently asked questions associated with different Bible topics, and also questions that people send in to us, or in the situation that we're in right now, kind of putting together a question based on everything that's going on in the world that we live in, the worldwide pandemic that we are slowly somewhat coming out of, it seems like, and we're maybe getting back to a new norm, but what are the things that we can do different as we move forward? What have we learned about ourselves and about things that we can do better in our service to God as well? And the question was, during the last almost 7 weeks, we've been displaced from our routines. It's caused us to reevaluate our lives in some situations. And for others, they may have gotten out of good habits and thrown us in a tailspin. And with things getting back to somewhat of a new normal, what should we be looking at with regard to how we can discipline ourselves and the way that we live our lives and the way that God commands us to and keep our priorities straight and still enjoy life to the very best of our ability every day? So we got started on that, and we basically said the answer overall is maintaining and growing godliness and examining our priorities. And really, that was the only one that we were able to get through the on Sunday morning. Hopefully tonight I'll do a little bit better, but we're going to talk about folks that are displaced from work and home with children, and just how we go about managing our everyday lives, and then some other things about habits and choices. But if you would, please join me as we start the class with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so very thankful for all the many blessings that you've given us. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for our sins and gave us a hope of eternal salvation. We pray that as we go through this class tonight, we'll think about the things that we can do to better please you, to let him be reflected in the things that we do and say every day, and do our very best to live according to your word and your will and please you while we're here, so we'll have a hope of salvation in eternity. We pray all this through your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so again, let's get started on, you know, folks that are displaced from work or working from home. And we've got a lot of people in those situations. We've got people that have either been laid off or furloughed from their jobs. That creates some stress in our lives. We've got people that are working from home that have never done that before. So basically, you know, we need to basically be able to look at that situation and figure out how we deal with that as it happens in our lives. First of all, let's think about this. Can it create problems in our lives? Absolutely. But what do we want to do as God's chosen people? In whatever our situation is, we always want to be able to trust in God. And trust in God is what we should do. Hopefully you had an opportunity to look up some of those scriptures that I shared with you. Psalms 28 and 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to him. So basically that's telling us that we always need to understand that God's giving us the strength that we need to endure whatever the situation might be, whatever the challenge might be that we have in our life. We want to be looking to God to be able to address that challenge that we have. And maybe being displaced from work, like we said, either laid off or even if you are furloughed, it creates uneasiness. It creates a concern about what is going to happen. Even if you're working from home, it may create some of that anxiety for you as well. But what we need to understand is we need to always trust in the Lord. He's going to take care of us, whatever the circumstance might be. Another verse from Psalms, if you want to turn over there to Psalms 32:10. That's Psalms 32:10. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who does what? Trust in the Lord. So again, we're trying to make sure we understand that we've got to trust in God no matter what our situation might be. Another scripture from Psalms 37:5, just a few pages over in your Bible there, Psalms 37:5. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. again, scriptures that kind of help us understand that he is going to take care of us. And I've got another Psalm scripture about trust, Psalms 62 and 8. Trust in the Lord at all times, O people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. God certainly is a refuge for us if what? We trust in him. And if we trust in him, we don't have anything that he won't help us work through, whatever the circumstance or situation might be. So trust in the Lord, pray to him. It says pour out your heart before him in the scripture. If we pour out our heart, we are petitioning him. We are coming to him and asking him to give us guidance and strength. So when we're dealing with difficult situations, it's the way that we need to do that. In Philippians, the fourth chapter in verses 6 and 7, if you want to grab your Bible and turn over there, Philippians 4 and verses 6 and 7. A final verse as we think about being able to trust in the Lord and not be concerned with things that we should not be concerned about. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ." So that can only happen if we trust in him. If we truly trust in the Lord, if we truly believe that he is going to hear us and we empty ourselves to him. Okay, the second thing I want to talk about under this topic of priorities, what about the issue of being home with children? Now, again, I haven't experienced that, so I don't know what it's like with regard to the pandemic, of course, that we're going through right now, but I know there's many of you that are going through that. So you're having to work from home, you're taking care of your children, and you're quarantined. You can't really go anywhere. Well, some people get outside. Some people do get a little bit of relief from just being cooped up in the house all the time, but you know, it's still quite a change in your environment, quite a change in the way that you're trying to function and deal with what's going on every day. When I think about parents being responsible for the education, the secular education that a family has while they are home from school, or home from school, right? And they can't go to the physical schools that we have now. It makes me also think about, not only do parents have that responsibility to their children with regard to their secular education right now, but what about all the time and the responsibility that parents have to the education of the Bible with their children? And what kind of job are you doing with regard to Bible lessons for your children right now? And what kind of time does that get? When we are out of quarantine, when the kids go back to the school systems and they are back in those physical locations where you're not responsible for their secular education anymore, how will you continue to do with their spiritual education? Fathers, we are the leaders and teachers of spiritual things, and certainly moms and dads work very closely together on that with regard to making sure that their children get their lessons so they can have a peace of mind. They can see something that was an important part of their life that's not missing now, even though they're not able to see their friends in person with regard to their spiritual lives, but they are able to get the kind of instruction that they need from their parents. In 1 Corinthians 13:11, it says, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but when I became a man, I gave up childish ways." When you think about the way that you're spending your time, parents, and you're thinking about your education for your children, how are we doing with regard to how we're spending our time? Are we spending our time frivolously? I mean, you see on social media all the different things that people are doing. It seems like almost to just kill time. almost waste time to make time go away. But are we acting in childish ways as leaders in our families, for the fathers, for the mothers, for those that are responsible for making sure that children understand how important it is still, or if the effort has not been there in the past, if it can be a better effort? So with all the time that we do have now, how much time is being set aside for Bible study? How much time is being set aside for Bible study? In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, in verses 1 through 4, we get a great example of the responsibility that children have to parents, but then also the responsibility that parents have to children with regard to teaching them. In particular, talks about the leadership the fathers are supposed to provide. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, in verses 1 through 4, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." I think this is an interesting thing to think about. And basically, Paul tells children to obey their parents because it's the right thing to do. He says, children should honor their father and their mother that it may go well with them and live long in the land. I've said before that part of disobedience, children's potential outcome in those days were they could potentially be stoned if they weren't obedient to their parents. But the point that I want to make is something that's really unstated, and I think there's an inference, though, there, is in the following verse it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So, fathers, I think we have to be the kind of leaders that our children want to follow. I'll say that again. We have to be the kind of leaders, fathers, that our children want to follow, that our children want to obey us because they respect who we are and what we are and how we live. And we've got to be that kind of spiritual leader for our entire family, and that's what God expects of us. Ask yourself a question. Can our children see wisdom and faithfulness if it doesn't exist in our lives? What do they know what wisdom and faithfulness looks like if they don't see it in the lives of their parents? And do they see it in our lives? And even still, I mean, yes, you're quarantined at home with your children, and can they see it in your life? But can children see it in my life? Can my children see it in my life? Do they see wisdom and faithfulness to God in my life? We need to be working toward that every day and doing the very best that we can to live that way so God will be pleased with who we are, what we are, and how we live. James 3:17. If you will, turn your Bibles over to James 3:17. But it says, "The wisdom from above is first pure and then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere." So, those are the types of things in wisdom that our children should see in us. And if they see in us a pure heart, a peaceable and gentle spirit, someone that is open to reason, full of mercy, good fruits, impartial and sincere, then they learn what wisdom is and what wisdom acts like. And they see it in our lives every day. So, all we can do is ask ourselves that question individually. Do my children see that in my life? Do my children see all of those things in the way that I live every day? Because if they don't, then what kind of example am I being to them? What kind of job am I doing to show them that I'm trying to grow and maintain godliness in my life in a crazy situation that we live in today? Because they're having a difficult time. Some are, maybe. But if they've got a good, stable environment at home, then hopefully that's been minimized because we are showing that we're godly people. We have nothing to fear. We are certainly being careful. but we know how to let wisdom rule in our lives and reflect who we are. Fathers, if we don't lead our families where they will follow us, then what are they going to follow? They're going to follow what they see on the internet. They're going to follow their questions. Or they're going to follow their friends. They're going to figure something out for themselves if they don't like what they see and what we offer. So here's a question for fathers again. Over the course of the last 7 weeks, have you done a good job of trying to make sure your children see the right example from you? Because they see everything. You know, they do. They see everything. Have you done better or worse as a spiritual leader for your family in the online Bible services that we've had, where we've done the live stream of our Sunday morning worship service and then also our Sunday evening worship service, the Bible classes we have on Sunday morning and then on Wednesday night? Have you made sure that they understood that was still important and tried to hold them accountable for that? Have you done better or worse, or have you used this time to grow closer to your family and show them the importance of their relationship with God and the example of your relationship with God? Those are all very important things as parents have been home, as dads have been home with the children. Okay, the next point I want to talk about is kind of general as I bring this thought to a conclusion and we get into the second point, and that's just managing everything in our lives. Lots of people are used to being out about and interacting with other people, getting their face time that they need with other people, and just getting out of the house. Some folks have got cabin fever really, really bad. Can't hardly stand to be locked down, but we want others to see who we are as a Christian, whether we're locked down, we're interacting with other people as we begin to get back out into the communities that we live in. And so we've got to decide how that's going to be reflected in our lives. So I guess what I would just like to say in conclusion at this point, this has certainly been a time for people to ask what our priorities are for sure, and how have we served our families, and what am I committed to? What are my priorities and what really motivates me? Am I being the kind of person God wants me to be? Am I giving that the energy that it deserves, it requires, that he requires of us? Okay, so now point two is the next one that I want to try and get through in our lesson tonight. What defines who we are? Habits, choices, and the things that we do every day. So if you want to try and write that down, point two, what defines who we are? Habits, choices, and things that we do every day. So let's first talk about choices. And again, that's been something I've talked a lot about over the years that I've been at West End. And that's been something I've talked about my whole life with my children and that I've challenged myself with as well. I've got little signs on the front of my monitor here that I look at on a regular basis over the course of the day as I try to do the best I can to be who I need to be. Every day, every second, we make a million choices. And sometimes we make good choices, and sometimes we don't make good choices. But what we've got to ask ourselves as Christians and trying to maintain and grow godliness during this pandemic and continuing in our lives with that, we just have to say, are the choices that we make fleshly centered or spiritually centered? Now, they're one of the two. We're either making spiritually based choices or we are making physically, materially based choices. So the first verse I want to look at is Romans, the 8th chapter, and verses 5 through 8. Romans 8, 5 through 8. Romans 8, 5 through 8. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We got to decide if we want to please God. We cannot please God if we are in the flesh. We must be seeking the Spirit and things that are of the Spirit. And that's something we have to do with every choice that we make. Every time we make a choice, it's either going to be a spiritually made choice or a fleshly made choice. If we live by the flesh, like it says, those are the things that are really important to us. Many times the choices that we make in our lives too are reflecting the priorities that we have. And if they are materially based goals and priorities, or if they are spiritually based priorities. Proverbs 16:16 says, how much better to get wisdom than gold? To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. And how many times does that really happen in the world that we live in today? I mean, how many times do people really think that way? Do people really think that it's better to get wisdom than it is to get silver and gold? We also, at this point in time, we might think a little bit more about the things of this world and what really matters to us compared to our relationship with God. And it causes us to think, are we more materially minded than we are interested in the wisdom that God gives us to be the person he wants us to be? Thinking about choices and acting on choices are deliberate actions, and they reflect what we value. Thinking about choices and acting on choices are deliberate actions, and they reflect what we value. So we have to ask ourselves, what do we value? So let's think about that. Actions on choices. Work and the job that we have. And this time where we've got so many people working from home, the question is, are we still giving 100% effort that our company expects from us? You're not under the microscope. You're not at work. You're not where people can see you. Then are we really living in such a way that our actions reflect that we're really giving it all we have? In Colossians 3:23 and 24, it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance for the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. So we've got to think about who we are, what we are, the choices that we make, the actions that we have, and how that reflects who we are. Now, whether we are giving 100% or we're not, God knows the effort that we're making, and we're not cheating the employer. We actually are, but we're cheating God in that we're supposed to act as if we are working for God, because that's who we are and what we're supposed to be doing. We can't also forget that God sees everything that happens. God knows everything that happens. Hebrews 4:13, and no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eye of him to whom we must give account. So the actions that we choose in our lives and the priorities that we have and the things that we do, the choices that we make, God's aware of all of them and will see everything and knows everything. So we've got to make sure that we're doing the very best that we can in the way that we serve God. How about the choices that we make and the impact that those choices have on our family? Husbands and wives, the choices that we make and how we love and work together as a team. How does that impact the children that are in the house? And how does that impact one another? You know, we can see in many lives where families are broken because the husband and wife have not worked as a team to meet the needs of the family, of each other, of the children, and it creates a problem. In Ephesians 5:22-31, wives submit, but husbands, be a man that a woman wants to submit to. And I'm not going to read that. I'm just going to give you some notes that I've made on that particular scripture. But kind of like what I was saying earlier about being the kind of father that children want to submit to, wives are supposed to submit to their husbands, but men, we need to be the kind of men that a woman wants to submit to. And that's a godly man that God would expect us to be. As we are the leader of the family, we should make our wives feel safe and loved and valued, so she will want to submit to our leadership, because she knows we are acting out of wisdom and leading in a way that is God-centered as opposed to what we want. Men, we're supposed to be the head of our wife, which means godly leadership in all things, in our character, in the development of the character of our children, in helping shape the character of the entire family. Men, we are also supposed to love our wives just like Christ loved the church. And that is a very, very deep thing to consider. If we think about the love that we're supposed to have for our wife and how that should reflect the same type of love that Christ had for the church. It's hard to really understand just how deeply men should appreciate and value their wives and what they should be willing to do for their wives as a result of that love. We should cherish them. We should always do the very best we can to take care of them and give them the kind of trust and comfort and reassurance that they need to feel as if they don't have anything to worry about because of their relationship with God and their relationship with us. He goes on to say, what man hates his own body? And generally, I would say no man really hates his own body, but sometimes you might wonder by the way that we do things and the way we treat ourselves. But that's the body that God gave us, and he says that we should nourish and cherish our bodies, and that's how Christ cherished the church. And that's the same way that we're supposed to treat our wives. Finally, in verse 31, what I understand it to say is, men, when you took that woman from their mother and father, when you took them and you said, I want this person to share my life with, I want this woman to share my life with, you made a commitment to love, cherish, lead, and help her get to heaven, just like she's supposed to be helping you get to heaven. But you're supposed to be doing that very same thing for her. And you're making that kind of commitment to their mother, to their father, to the person or people that are giving her away. Also in that verse, it says that we're making a bond as a husband and wife. And when you bring children into this world, you're also committed to them and helping them have a good quality life in a good Christian home and being the right example for them and with them and helping to provide a godly example for them to learn how to love the Lord too. So stop, parents, right now and ask yourself that question. Are you doing that? Moms and dads, are you providing that kind of environment? Are you supporting your wife for her to provide that kind of environment? Are your children getting to see what a godly home looks like? And if they are not, then how are they suffering? And what does that say to them about how important you think the church is and the sacrifice that Christ made when he came to this earth and lived and died so that we could have heaven for eternity? Our choices that we make and the actions that are associated with them are very important, and we've got to really be committed to that every day. What else defines us? Well, another thing that I've talked about recently, and that's how we go about living those actions and choices that we make through either reacting to things always and constantly in life, and it's easy to get into that mode, or being more proactive. And who is our example? Nobody more reflects in the Bible the proactive example than Jesus Christ. There were a lot of godly men and women, apostles, all types of disciples that we learn of that were godly men and women, but Christ lived a very proactive life. And actually, I think he was the ultimate example of that. He knew what he was here to do, and he did it. He did not let anything get in the way of what he knew needed to be done. He never cowered in the face of adversity. He was always ready to go, and he just stuck with it. If you turn over to Matthew, the fourth chapter, where he began his ministry, he started out by being baptized by John in Matthew, the third chapter, in verses 13 through 17. God said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." And then what did he do? He goes about being led into the wilderness by an angel, fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and then tempted by Satan with all things that people are interested in today. But he did not waver. And every time that he was tempted, he used scripture to say that Satan wouldn't be his father. Satan wouldn't be who he would cower to, but he would continue to put his faith and trust in God. James 3:17 says, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere." That's the kind of thing that we saw in the decisions that Christ made and the way that he lived and what he did and what he didn't do, what he did not do, what he did not allow himself to be subject to. And we've got to take that same kind of character and let it be reflected in our lives as well. And if our children don't see pure lives, peaceable lives, gentle lives, reasonable lives, merciful lives full of good fruits, with a spirit being impartial and sincere, then do they perceive that we've got wisdom in our lives or any wisdom to provide to them? Or do they see us as a reflection of the life of Christ? Fathers, if we do not lead, how can our families follow? Or what will they follow? That's what we've got to stick with. We've got to understand. We've got to do the very best that we can with in every way that we live our lives. Christ was very proactive in the way that he lived, and we've got to make sure that we do the very best that we can. In Romans 6:16, Paul said, "Do you not know that when you offer yourselves as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one that you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, leading to death, or to obedience, leading to righteousness?" And he chose in the way that he lived, and we have to also choose in the way that we will live our lives. What kind of example are we going to be to our children, like the example that Christ was to us? Okay. I'm going to end the lesson right there tonight. The next thing that we're going to get into is the implementation of God's word and how we do that every day as we continue this thought. And we will do that on Sunday morning. Certainly appreciate everybody's attention to the lesson tonight and hope that it's beneficial for you as we go forward. Don't forget, we'll be back together on Sunday morning for our Bible class that will be live streamed. And then we'll have our worship service at 10 a.m. that will also be live streamed. Be sure and tell friends about it that may not have an opportunity to participate in a Bible class, and encourage them to study God's word with us.